Chapter 13. Legacy of the Eighth Legion. And still he dreamed. He thought not of the blood analysis taking place, nor of the drills opening his skull to the cold air and the press of curious blades. He thought only of the time before, when the enemy had come to Sagualsa 10,000 years ago, bringing punishment for so many sins. After an hour had passed since the sky first caught fire, Talos had to admit the fatigue was getting to him. The Vox was alive with brutal reports of walls falling to enemy artillery, of tanks spilling into the fortress through holes blown in the barricades, of drop pods crashing through the parapets to disgorge hundreds of enemy squads into the castle's outer districts. He'd lost all contact with the fleet above, beyond the choppiest, most nonsensical eruptions of curses and screams. He was no longer even sure the Covenant was in orbit. First Claw had quickly abandoned their headlong flight through the fortress, moving to take subsidiary corridors, ventilation shafts, slave tunnels, and maintenance crawlways in order to avoid the enemy flooding through their haven. The Vox, what little of it still made any sense, spoke of a bleak picture. Casualties were more than high. The Legion forces still on the ground were being devastated. Squads of enemy space marines were fighting with an efficiency that had no place on such a vast scale. Legion Claws were shouting of enemy soldiers linking up with their brethren with vicious frequency, forming overwhelming numbers as they stormed through the primary chambers, forcing the defenders into an ever-heightening state of disorder and retreat. Every Night Lord counterattack was met with waves of reinforcements, as the Imperials fell back in organized withdrawals, sinking to fallback points already being reinforced by their freshly landed brethren. The squad halted in a maintenance duct, so confined that they had to crouch, and for some stretches move on all fours, Sirion's Orspecs waving in and out of readable resolution.
"We're lost," Zarr mumbled. "Accursed servitor Dunnels. We should have stayed on the concourses."
"And be dead like the others?"
Sarzel asked from the rear. He was dragging his las cannon behind him, as careful as he could be with the relic weapon.
"I will take sanity over madness, thank you. I want to live to fight another day, in a war we can win."
"This is like fighting a virus," Talos breathed over the Vox. "Like fighting a terminal infection. They're everywhere. They know how best to counter us as soon as we do something. They studied us before committing to this attack. This was all planned to the last detail."
"Who were the first ones we killed?" asked Sarzel.
"Before the Silver Eagles, the ones in armor the same green as Radara's sky with the Aurora chapter. We fought them at Span's Reach. I do not know many of the others," Talos confessed. "The Vox is alive with names I've never heard. The Nova Marines, the Black Consuls, the Genesis Chapter. Titles of the chapters whose protectorates we've been raiding and punishing for decades. This was what our father felt before he died. Our sins have come home to roost, just as his did."
"It doesn't matter," Zarl interrupted. "They're all Ultramarines. They bled in the Great War. They'll bleed now."
"He has a point," said Sarzel.
"Better the 13th than the gods' damned blood angels with all their screaming kith and kin."
"Is now truly the time for this argument?" Talos asked quietly.
The others fell silent.
"This way," said Sirion. "The hangar isn't far."
First Claw emerged into relative quiet. The cacophony of thudding bolters and roaring engines hadn't faded completely, but at least here the halls were free of shrieking slaves and the bootsteps and gunshots of conflicting squads.
"We missed the battle here,"
Talos voxed to his brethren. Bodies already littered the floor. Some in Eighth Legion Ceramite, others in the colors of the Primogenitor chapters.
"Praetors of Orpheus," he said, I recognize their colors.
It wasn't hard to make out the scene's details. The invaders had breached the fortress at countless points nearby, rather than risk running directly against the hangar's immense defense batteries. From their intrusion points, they'd focused their aggression inwards, splitting their landing forces between penetrating deeper into the bastion and slaughtering all who fled for the safety of the hangar on this level. The Prophet narrowed his eyes, imagining the same scene playing out on every level, through all of the hangars around the fortress, imagining the breaches in every wall.
"They will have left a rear guard," he warned. "They are too precise to forget such a thing."
"No life signs,"
Sirion replied.
"Even so."
Talos was the one to defile the stillness, kicking out a ventilator grill and dropping to the deck below. Despite the negative scans, he panned his bolter across the scene.
"Nothing," he said. "No one. This place is a tomb."
Sirion's voice was colored by a smile over the vox.
"Cowardice has never been so rewarding."
"We are not safe yet," said the Prophet.
The hangar stretched out before them. Despite being one of the fortress's more modest launch platforms, the Western Quadrant's secondary hangar bay still housed over 24 gunships and storage shuttles. At capacity, the workforce would number over 200 souls, servitors and slaves alike engaged in the duties of maintenance, refueling, rearming, and repair. Talos breathed out slowly and swore under his breath. The ground was littered with the remains of the slain. Half of the gunships and shuttles were wrecked by sustained weapons fire. Several were now little more than smoking hulls, while others had had their landing gear carved out from under them, now resting crashed down onto the deck.
"There's no need for a rear guard when they were this thorough," said Sarzel. "Come on."
The gunship Dirge nestled at the far end of the hangar, still held 10 meters above the ground in its docking clamps. Speckles of tracer fire dotted the gunship's armor plating, but the principal damage wasn't to the flyer itself.
"Oh no," Sarzel complained. "No, no, no."
The others stood in silence, watching for a moment.
"Focus," Talos ordered them. "Stay alert."
First Claw, still accompanied by Uzas, fanned out through the hangar, their bolters up. Talos remained with Sarzel and gestured to the gunship.
"We need to get off this world, brother." "We're not leaving in that," Sarzel replied.
The Thunderhawk had escaped most of the harm inflicted upon the rest of the bay, but the sabotage was still complete. The docking clamps gripping the gunship were shattered. The fact they still held the Thunderhawk aloft was a miracle in itself.
"We can destroy the docking clamps," Talos said. "Dirge will survive a 10-meter fall."
Sarzel nodded, though it was vague and almost devoid of actual agreement.
"The rotating platforms along the deck are inactive. The control chamber is ruined."
He gestured to a raised deck overseeing the hangar's operation below. More bodies lay across the consoles, many of them scorched husks of charred meat, and every machine in sight was gouged by blades or darkened by flame wash.
"We can take off with the positioning carousels," Talos breathed slowly.
Sarzel turned his gesturing arm to take in the wreckage lying across the hangar floor, many of the hulks reaching halfway to the ceiling.
"And what do you want to do with all of this detritus? Blast it aside with rocket volleys at suicidal range? I can't fly a gunship through this. We need the hangar systems operational to clear the way. Without them, it will take days."
Talos held his tongue as he scanned across the husks and wounded gunships.
"There, that one. That will fly."
Sarzel's gaze lingered on the burned husk for several seconds, his keen eyes flickering over the condition of the hull. The Thunderhawk stood close to the hangar bay doors, ruthlessly stitched by heavy caliber fire that had clearly and cleanly punched through its layered armor plating. Its midnight paint was left charcoal gray-black, the crow-like hull entirely seared by flamer weapons. Even the reinforced windows had melted, leaving the cockpit unprotected. Smoke breathed from the shattered window, evidence of earlier internal grenade detonations.
"It might," Sarzel said at last. "It will mean taking off through the dust storm, and the smoke rising from the burning fortress. The engines may suffocate in the ash."
"Better than dying here," the Prophet replied. "Get to work."
Weighed down by his las cannon, Sarzel made his way across the hangar and went to find out if the gunship would fly, one way or the other. The hangar's funereal serenity lasted a handful of minutes before it was breached by Imperial soldiers in white livery. Sarzel was already in the pilot's throne, relieved by the sound of the engines cycling up to readiness. The gunship had taken a beating, but it would fly. Admittedly, he knew they'd be without heat shielding when they went through the atmosphere, solvable by sealing themselves outside of the cockpit, behind the bulkhead, leaving the gunship's machine spirit to take over. And in vacuum once they reached the void. No real threat if their armor was sealed. But first things first, at least the Thunderhawk would take off.
"More Praetors!" Sarzel voxed.
The rest of First Claw came running. Five of the enemy left the odds close to even, and both squads took cover among the endless opportunities within the wreckage. Talos crouched with Sirion, checking his ammunition reserves.
"We are cursed," he said. "No one alive should have our luck."
"No,"
Sirion blind-fired over the debris they were hiding behind.
"If anyone deserves to die for their crimes, brother, it's us."
Talos lifted his bolter to add his fire to Sirion's. In the same moment, all firepower from the enemy ceased. Talos and Sirion exchanged glances. Both of them slowly looked above their barricade, letting their bolters lead the way. All five of the Praetors had left the safety of their cover. All five stood in the open, their limbs locked tight, shuddering as spasms racked their bodies. As First Claw watched, two of them dropped their weapons. Their unburdened fingers trembled and curled, all control lost. A figure stepped into view behind them. Horns curled in an elegant rise from his skull-faced helm, and his T-shaped visor looked upon the scene in expressionless silence. In one armored fist, the figure held an ancient bolter. In the other, a staff of mercury-threaded black iron, topped by a cluster of human skulls. The Praetors' shaking helms clicked with flawed vox signals as they tried to vocalize their torment. Smoke hissed from their melting armor joints, and their epileptic quivers redoubled. As holes appeared in their armor plating, the screams finally broke free from the molten decay. One by one, they collapsed to the hangar decking, liquidized organic filth spilling in slow gushes from each armored suit. The figure lowered its staff and walked calmly towards First Claw.
"You weren't thinking of leaving without me, were you?"
asked Reuven. His voice lacked even the shadow of emotion.
"No," Talos lied. "Not for a moment."
Wind roared in through the sundered cockpit window, whose ass's cloak of flayed skin flapped in the rushing gale, and the skulls hanging on Zal's armor chains rattled in bony chorus. Sarzel sat in the pilot's throne with the comfortable lean of a soul born to be there. From the air, the fortress was a stain across the landscape, a castle in the first throes of becoming devastation incarnate. Smoke poured from its broken battlements, with rows of defense batteries aflame and the outer levels ravaged. Scars across the stone showed the impact craters of drop pods, while a haze of whining, roaring gunships and land speeders swarmed through the burning skies in an insectile cloud. First Claw's stolen gunship juddered as it climbed, its intake valves breathing in smoke and its engines exhaling raw fire. It took no more than a few heartbeats to boost up into the pall of smoke now hanging over the fortress. Tracer fire chattered past them from below, knocking on the hull as it scratched home.
"We're fine," Sarzel voxed over their shared link. "It did not sound fine," Talos ventured, from his own shaking restraint throne.
We're in the smoke. We're fine now, at least until the ash slays the engines.
Talos pointed ahead of their ascent.
What is that? The prophet asked.
A bright blur, fierce as a second sun, blossomed in the black smoke clouds above them. Veins of fiery light spread in every direction from its white-hot core.
It's a...
Sarzel never finished the sentence. He wrenched the control columns, banking the gunship so sharply that every bolt and plate within its construction heaved in torment. The second sun flashed past them with a Carnadon's roar, still streaming atmospheric fire on its insane descent. Talos released a breath he'd not realized he'd been holding. The drop pod plummeted from sight.
That was close, Sarzel admitted.
Brother, Talos gestured the same moment the proximity alarms caught up and started their tuneless pulse.
Something else.
I see it, I see it.
Whatever it was, it strafed alongside them, a mirror image in ascension, streaming the same fire from its engines. For a moment, the avian shadow broke through the plumes of smoke, just long enough to reveal the markings along its hull, visible even through the char damage.
Ultramarines, Thunderhawk, Talos warned.
I said I see it.
Then shoot it down.
With what?
Curses and prayers? Did you have time to load the turrets before we left, and simply chose not to tell me?
Talos's skulled helm snapped around to face the pilot.
Will you shut your mouth and just get us into the void?
The engines are choking with ash. I told you this would happen. We're not going to clear orbit.
Try.
In the same moment, more tracer fire zipped across their prow, tinnily hammering into the gunship's nose. Half of the control console went dark.
Hold on,
Sarzel muttered, an ocean of bizarre calm. The Thunderhawk banked in a hard roll, driving them all against their restraint thrones. The shaking, already brutal, magnified tenfold. Something burst outside on the hull with a rattle of metal.
Primary engines are dead, said Sarzel.
The worst pilot in all of 10th Company,
Sirion managed to vox through the crushing gravitational forces. Talos watched the smoke cloud twisting in all directions, feeling the gunship lurch beneath him again. A second detonation was a muffled crump on the edge of hearing.
Secondary engines are dead, intoned
Sarzel. There was no single serene moment where the Thunderhawk hovered at the apex of its flight, before gently beginning a plummet. They rolled and shuddered in a powerless freefall, listening to the piteous machine scream of the ash-choked engines. Each of them was shouting over the vox to be heard, even their audio receptors unable to filter out the storm of noise.
We're dead in the air,
Sarzel called, still hauling on the levers to drag some stability back from their death dive.
Jump, Pax,
Talos shouted over the chaos. First Claw locked their boots to the deck and rose from their restraint thrones. Step by halting step, they made their way to the crew bay, magnetic boot steps thumping. Loose debris crashed against their armor plating. Zal's crate of replacement chain teeth shattered on Reuven's helm, eliciting a muttered curse over the vox. Talos was the first to reach the racked jump packs. He locked the harness over his shoulder guards, secured the seals to his armor, and readied to thud his armored fist into the bay door release.
We're going to die today,
Sirion voxed, sounding more amused than anything else. Talos hit the ramp release and stared out into the roaring wind, choking smoke and the horizon spinning beyond sanity.
I have an idea, the prophet replied with a shout, but we'll need to be careful. Follow me.
The ash will choke our jump pack engines,
Sarzel called out.
We'll have a minute, maybe two. Make it count.
Talos didn't reply. He unlocked his boots from the deck and started running, leaping out into the burning sky.